K-92 The Fan. Bam, 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 bam.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Justin Cuthbert and Ailish Forfar. Happy Monday, everybody. Your last call to get your wake and rake submissions in. Text in 590, 590. From Monday Night Football, from Jays, from Toronto Maple Leafs back in action. Full night of viewing ahead. Jays and Leafs at 7. And then you have your little bit of a break before Monday Night Football starts at 8:15. So a couple split screens happening, but send in your best bets and we will add you to the parlay. Let's talk to Ross Tucker, our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and Westwood One analyst. How's it going today, Ross?
It's going great for me, better than it's going for you after what happened with Dartmouth in overtime on Friday night.
Oh, come on. You know what? I was hoping no one would bring that up, and you're the only one that would. You're the only one that cares.
I am the only one that would because I was in a hotel room in West Point, New York, mm-hmm. watching ESPNU because I played in the Ivy League, and I was kind of hoping nobody would win, but that's not possible in college football. So Dartmouth took the L against Penn.
Yep.
And we should probably spend the next 15 minutes talking about that, because that is what people in Toronto really want. Forget the viewing party. Forget the split screen for the Maple Leafs and the Rays night. You can just play back the audio of Ailish and Ross talking about Dartmouth Penn in overtime.
Yeah, that was tough. You know, a tough adversity to overcome early. I actually am going to be at their homecoming game. It's not against Princeton this year, though. It's against Harvard, October 29th. But they face Princeton the next weekend. So we could tee that up in 2 weeks when you're back on, talk about how the Big Green and the Tigers are looking. But, yeah, thanks for rubbing a little salt in my wound early on here. I believe in the Big Green. You know, who did have a good comeback were the Bills, though. What'd you make of the way that they were able to find fortitude and resilience? And last week I told you that they hadn't won any same or one score games like ever, and you were shocked, and now they were able to find a way. Positives?
Well, that was a gigantic game. I mean, I don't think we can overstate how important that game was, quite frankly, for both those teams, right? I mean, I probably told you last week, in my mind, and there's a long way to go. NFL season's a marathon, not a sprint. We're 4 weeks in out of 18. But I really don't envision, Ailish, I really don't see a team coming out of the AFC other than the Bills, Chiefs, or Ravens. It just really feels to me like those are the three best teams. We'll see. There's injuries. Things can happen. So if you're jockeying with these other teams to see who ends up getting the higher seed and maybe hosting the home playoff game, which is significant, those head-to-head games mean a lot, like a lot. And so Bill's down 20-3, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, man, you know, they're still licking their wounds in the Miami game, and they're still beat up. Just the resiliency. What I love about this Bills team is Josh Allen, it just feels like he knows when he needs to take over. And whether it's his arm or running, and he'll just run people over, they're just a very enjoyable, fun team to watch. And obviously that game got hairy late, but the Poyer interception was huge. And I love that the Bills knew not to score a touchdown late. Because number one, that would have ruined my bet on the Even Money podcast with the Ravens plus 3.5. It worked out perfectly for me, Ailish. I had the Ravens plus 3.5. So the Bills won, but I won my bet. It was a great day.
I was right there with you. I was hoping that they wouldn't be able to run that one in. And of course, one player made the mistake of tackling, I believe it was Devin Singletary, which may or may not have put Marcus Peters over the top in terms of his anger towards the coaching staff and more importantly, Jim Harbaugh. I mean, Baltimore became the first team in 8 years to lose multiple games at home when leading by 17 or more, and we're only in week 4. Clearly some coaching decisions have went awry here, and Marcus Peters was pretty quick to point that out with his actions on the sidelines. Like, what has gone into these losses for Baltimore, these 17-point comebacks from the opposition? What is Jim Harbaugh not doing right from a coaching position to sort of allow this to happen?
So a couple thoughts. Do we know for sure what Peters was upset about? Do we know?
No, I guess we're speculating a little bit. But what I saw, or at least on Twitter, and again, you can take all that with a grain of salt, is that his anger was directed towards Harbaugh. But he could have been mad at the 4th-and-1 call, too, for when they threw the pick to Poyer, or the second pick to Poyer.
No, that would surprise me. I mean, maybe he wanted them to kick the field goal and then thought, you kick the field goal, get the lead, show some faith in the defense, but the Bills still took it all the way down because we're a touchdown anyway. I mean, you never know how it unfolds. Maybe it unfolds differently, but the Bills, I thought maybe he was upset because the Ravens were trying to let him score. I don't know what he was upset about. I would love to get clarity on that.
On the field, on the field, he looked like the guy who was angry with the player who tackled him. Like, he reacted to a player, I forget the name of the player who did tackle Singletary, but it looked like he was upset with the fact that they stopped Singletary from scoring.
Interesting. Got it. Okay. Well, that would make sense because they shouldn't have stopped Singletary, but Singletary wasn't going to score anyway. He knew what to do. He knew to go down. So I didn't really have a problem with Harbaugh going for it. You know, okay, they could have hit the field goal to go up 3. What are the real odds at that point that they're going to hold the Bills to not even a field goal attempt? Probably not real good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the win probability, probably had a much better chance if they got a touchdown there. The issue was Lamar Jackson throwing the pick. And so when you look at all the win probability stuff, I think Harbaugh thought worst case scenario, the Bills will get the ball like at the 2 and they'll be really backed up and it'll affect their play calling and all that. Well, instead, Lamar throws the pick, so the Bills get the ball at the 20, which I think changed the dynamic quite a bit. I don't think there's a – I think the correlation between the two, against the Dolphins, they just totally broke down with mental error after mental error and allowed Tyreek Hill to get behind them. It wasn't that as much against the Bills in this game. I thought there were some bad calls. I couldn't believe the one roughing the passer penalty. But I don't think that there's a high correlation between the two games other than the offense didn't keep scoring. The offense didn't keep going like they needed to. Because I think the defense was different.
Let's move on to so many games yesterday to run through. But Packers barely surviving third-string quarterback debut of Bailey Zapp. Like, I don't know how they barely survived that one. What are we seeing from the Packers? Are they just bad?
I don't think they're bad, but I thought the Patriots had a good plan. But clearly, when you watch Rodgers, like, throw a pick 6 or some of the things, he's clearly not as comfortable and not on the same page with his receivers. I mean, that's what jumps out a bunch. They're just not clicking in that regard like they normally do. And that might get better during the course of the year. I think the thought in Green Bay is by November and December, you know, those guys, quote unquote, won't really be rookies anymore, and they'll be able to really contribute and help the Packers to have a much better offense. Zappy, it's funny. I actually called one of his games last year at Army. This is amazing. I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter, but 2 years ago, Bailey Zappy played for Houston Baptist, okay, and set like crazy passing records at Houston Baptist, where their stadium is half a stadium and half a CVS. That's the stadium. Then he had so many records that Western Kentucky hired his offensive coordinator to be their offensive coordinator. So then Zappy and like 3 receivers transferred. Zappy and 3 of his receivers transferred from Houston Baptist to Western Kentucky. So he played for them last year, had a really good year. They lost the Army game, I called. And now he's playing at Lambeau Field. He went from CVS Field, literally like a CVS at the stadium, to Lambeau Field in 2 years. But, no, I think, look, I think the Packers are kind of where I thought they'd be. The real question is whether or not Rodgers and the receivers get up to speed enough that they're a major factor in the playoffs.
Well, it kind of feels like the same script's being written where they're going to have this great record, but maybe they're not so great of a team. Like, that just seems to be the formula for Green Bay where, you know, they find a way. They're well-coached. They obviously have a great quarterback, but it's not a perfect team, and it sort of gets you to that point where it's like, yeah, it's a great record. They're going to be in a good position in the playoffs, but can they win those big games? And I feel like the questions are still out there for the Packers, as they are too for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, if there's a trend at the top of the NFC is that these teams are struggling a little bit, and it's hard to pinpoint who could be really dominant there. The Bucs get blown out by the Chiefs, who somehow lost to the Colts. I know football math doesn't work, but this all doesn't make sense to me. But what do you make of the top of the NFC? Like, who can emerge there other than, I guess, who can emerge to challenge Philly when the Bucs don't look right? The Packers are doing the Packers thing, and there's not many options behind that.
Well, right now it's the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, they're 4-0, and they were down 14-0 yesterday. They scored 29 unanswered to go up 29-14. It was really impressive. I mean, one of my things I was wondering about the Eagles was how they would handle adversity. The answer is pretty darn well. I think right now they're the best team. That doesn't mean when we get to January that Jalen Hurts is going to play well enough against guys like Brady and Rodgers and maybe Matthew Stafford for them to win it. But highly, highly impressed by the Eagles. They just have a really good roster. Now, they took some tough injuries yesterday, so that's something that we'll have to keep an eye on because they had several guys go down in the game, say Amalu and Mailata, a couple of offensive linemen. So time will tell because that's the thing that's, I think, more unique about the NFL than other sports is just the war of attrition and the impact it has throughout the course of the season.
We talked a lot about how talented the Philadelphia Eagles are with you. You know, we talked about Hurts, the receivers, the O-line, the defense, mentioned the injuries. They even have the depth, at least it seems, as well. But I want to ask you about Nick Sirianni. He's the favorite now. I know it's early for Coach of the Year. If you look at most odds boards, how has the coach helped along the 4-0 start for Philly?
You know what? I just think he's genuine. I think he's authentic. And I think the guys like him. Now, let's make no mistake about it. They certainly have the best roster in the NFC. And I think you can make a really strong case they have the best roster in the NFL. So Howie Roseman, the GM, deserves a lot of credit for that. But you still got to make it work. And, you know, Sirianni wears like a different T-shirt with a player on it every day to kind of promote and support those guys. He kind of got off to a bad start with the press conferences and the court of public opinion, but they like him. I mean, I really think the players like him, believe in him. They solicit input from the players because all the coaches are like late 30s, and a lot of the Eagles' best players are early 30s. So there's not that much of a spread between them. So I just think the players like him, and he's letting them have input, which is significant.
On the flip side of that game, and it was a big game, Philly and Jacksonville. If you weren't watching Ravens-Bills, you're probably watching that one in the 1 o'clock window. Hard to be, you know, to maintain the enthusiasm about Jacksonville after Trevor Lawrence took a little bit of a step back, couldn't hang on to the ball. But they did put a scare into Philly early, and the other teams in the AFC South do not look very impressive, even though Tennessee got a win yesterday. How do you handicap the AFC South right now?
Yeah, I still think Jacksonville's probably the best team. Houston's bad. Colts are bad. Tennessee's okay. Jacksonville's front seven, very fast, athletic. I would be curious to see how yesterday's game would have gone if it wasn't like pouring rain the whole time. I really think, I mean, Trevor Lawrence was majorly affected by the pouring rain, much more than the Eagles were. I mean, he had four fumbles and missed a bunch of throws. Two of the fumbles were like unforced errors where he wasn't even touched. That was really end up being the biggest difference in the game.
Ross, we're just bouncing around a bunch of things here, but we had written this down, and Justin and I asked about Justin Fields, if he has a future in this league, in your perspective.
Ooh, that is a good
one, eh?
Question. Yeah. I think it's to be determined. I'm not ready to say yes. I'm not ready to say no. I think I'll have a better feel by the end of the year. But, you know, one deep pass, one big bomb, which is so funny. Like, we're in a culture now where he makes one big throw. People are like, see, that's who he is, man. See, that does not a good quarterback make, right? Like, that's ridiculous. That was a great throw. But it's what you do play in and play out. Still takes too many sacks. Still doesn't look like he always knows where he wants to go with the football. I mean, if you think about it, and you think about, like, the stats he has right now, and we talked about this on the Fantasy Feast podcast, which is my fantasy podcast. No quarterback ever come back from this. Like, no quarterback ever had statistics this bad and then ended up being a good quarterback. He's like in Tebow territory right now.
Speaking of comebacks, Saquon Barkley looks like a new guy this year. How has he turned his career around?
You know what? I just think he's healthier. I think he was still recovering from the injury a year ago and just wasn't fully healthy. I do think the offensive line has gotten better around him, which has really helped. So they got a better offensive line. But when you watch him, he just has all that explosiveness back. He just looks like the old Saquon. He's just crazy, crazy explosive. It's really impressive.
Similar to Fields, how many more chances do you think that Baker Mayfield has, and is he in risk of losing his job when Sam Darnold is healthy?
I don't know. I think Matt Rhule might lose his job before Baker Mayfield does. Matt Rhule, I mean, they haven't gotten the right quarterback. They haven't gotten the right offensive coordinator. And as a result, Matt Rhule, I feel like, is as good as gone. And you almost wonder if you're Matt Rhule, with some of these other jobs opening up in college football, like Wisconsin, Colorado, you almost wonder if you're Matt Rhule, if you, like, say to the owner, hey, like, let me take this other gig. Like, let me get another gig while I can. Although I think he'd be such a hot commodity as a college coach that he can kind of just wait till the end.
Last one for you, Ross. We should probably talk about Kenny Pickett entering the game for Mitch Trubisky. It seemed a little bit premeditated. If Trubisky struggled, it was going to be Kenny Pickett coming in. He gave them a little bit of jolt. He also threw a handful of picks. It seems like the Steelers are pretty limited to a pretty low ceiling with the quarterback options they have. Of course, Kenny Pickett can grow within this season, but he doesn't look like the guy who's going to immediately step in and lead the Steelers to anything meaningful this year. But I guess it could be wrong. What's your feel on the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh and what Kenny Pickett can accomplish here?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was already better than Trubisky. You know, he ran for a couple touchdowns and showed that he's willing to be aggressive in that regard. They had a 10-point lead. You know, to me, that loss is more about the Steelers' defense. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you have a 10-point lead in the second half against Zach Wilson and the Jets, you can't lose that game. I mean, that to me goes right on the shoulders of the defense more than anything else. For the Steelers to win, they have to score 20 points or more, and the defense has to hold them. Defense couldn't do it.
Ross, a pleasure as always to speak to you, except for the way that you started the interview with the big green. We'll have to circle back on that next week. I don't know who they're playing, but I expect more from them, all right?
Sounds good.
Talk to you next week. Thanks, Ross. was Ross Tucker, host of every podcast in the world, including the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And he's a Westwood One analyst, and he was our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
I imagine he plugs our show, too. When he's on a different show, he comes on and says, my point made on the Fan Morning Show.
Listen to their podcast, subscribe, download, 5 stars.
I'm a regular there.
Yeah. He's a busy guy. He's almost as busy as the rest of us, including you. Tonight, Rams and Niners, we are going to resolve our tie that we had with our pick aside on Friday.
Yeah, you're not into the ties.
I don't want to start.
You want a winner.
I would like a winner.
Season long scoreboard, but you want
winners.
A winner.
That's right. I want winners. So, as we mentioned, if you missed the beginning of the show, we did our pick aside inaugural debut of pick aside. Justin and I picked 3 lines we liked. Danielle and Josh picked 3 lines they like. All 6 of them hit. You're welcome. We had a nice text in from TJ who said, the pick aside segment on Friday was a huge success. I had a free $10 bet all of the 6 of the games. As you know, all 6 hit. The odds were plus 2,600. I made a cool $260. Thanks, TJ in Stouffville.
Love it.
TJ in Stouffville, a regular, gets paid off big by listening to the Fan Morning Show. So we had our inaugural pick aside. But as I mentioned, we tied. There needs to be a winner of this week. So we're going to allow Danielle and Josh to pick their decision from tonight on Monday Night Football. Pick the line they want to bet with.
They're going to pick a side.
They're going to pick a side. We're letting them do it. And we just take the other side of it and we deal with it.
And we'll add it every week. So we'll do 3 for the weekend. We'll do the Monday night game. That means there's 7 points on the line, I guess, every week. Again, this is, you want a winner for this week, which I get, but this will be a season-long thing as well. So we'll have the scoreboard. Hopefully we stay pretty tightly bunched for now. You got to be perfect if you want to stay tightly bunched because Danielle and Josh had some good picks, but we were able to match it as well.
They don't mess around, these two. Speaking of money, I wanted to share this tidbit of information. The Denver Nuggets mascot, Rocky, is the highest paid mascot in the NBA. He makes $625,000 a year. An NBA mascot, $625,000.
It's 41 games. They work 41 nights out of the year. There's probably some, appearances.
Sure.
For
Let's
Rocky.
Let's give them 10 appearances, maybe.
What's the average out there? What's $625,000?
$625,000 American dollars.
Divided by 41.
This guy makes.
And again, it's, you're worth whatever someone is willing to pay you. Maybe the financial, the word recession being thrown around? Apparently not in Denver.
What does this mascot do that's different than what I could do if I threw on Carlton the Bears outfit and went to a Leafs game? To make $625,000 a year.
I mean, the Raptors got to be licking his chops leading into the next contract negotiation. Like, he is universally praised, known as one of the best mascots in sport. He's got to come to the table with, I don't know if Rocky brings it. I don't know what Rocky's game is like.
I'm going to have my eyes on Rocky all season long. He better earn that bag.
Oh, maybe he'll fat and happy. One of my favorite phrases. Is he going to get fat and happy? No, but that's just what he makes. This isn't a guaranteed bag either for him. He just makes it. So he better be he better be exceptional. Speaking of mascots, I hope Bowie, the Seattle Kraken mascot,
my God.
Is not earning $625,000. That is the worst thing I've ever seen.
So Seattle Kraken.
It's a troll, right?
Teased that they were going to debut their mascot, and I thought it was going to be some sort of water animal, like a Kraken, or maybe the Loch Ness Monster. Or
like they haven't really incorporated Kraken.
A fisherman. The two guys that were stuffing fish at the Lake Erie tournament, they could have been better
fishermen.
Mascots. Fishermen.
An actual Kraken.
A fish. A shark. I mean, it doesn't make sense because the sharks. Any animal from the sea.
No, the Kraken.
They went with the world's most grotesque looking creature that I've ever seen in my life. He's a troll.
Yeah. So troll's a troll.
An actual troll named Bowie the Troll.
Dudes.
No, it's honestly awful.
Seattle had like all the opportunities in the world to do this right.
Their jerseys are elite.
Their jerseys are great.
They have a climate pledge arena, which is great.
They started out so strong.
They care about the environment.
They started out so strong. Then they picked their coaching staff. Then they picked their team. Then they picked their mascot. And everything has been strike after strike after strike. Like, seriously, they had every opportunity to, like, hit the ground running, be great. But, man, I just feel like...
It's the worst thing I've seen in NHL mascot history.
It's a bad mascot. It's a bad mascot.
Gritty's out there laughing. Let me just read you what the reasoning was behind this troll. He lives under the arena, said Katie Townsend, Kraken chief marketing officer. His favorite meal is a piece of shark with a sprig of maple leaf. And he's very much a music guy. So I think we'll see lots of dancing, beatbox, and grunge inspired by the music scene in Seattle. But why is the mascot not just a Kraken? The team preferred to use a more child-friendly character to leave the mythological beast as a figment of fans' imagination. Quote, we believe the Kraken lives in the theater of the mind. One of the brand values is mystery. We don't want to be a cartoon brand and have a cartoon Kraken represent us.
I don't know, man.
A child-friendly mascot? Have you seen this thing? It's terrifying.
Are children going to gravitate towards this freakish troll?
It's honestly horrendous. Please
really
take
bad.
A look.
I don't even like the rationale. I like it worse now.
It gets worse every time you think about it. Okay, so Bowie, the troll, not worth buying a stuffed animal for your loved ones. I'm honestly freaked out about this thing. Let's go make you some money, though, and then you can buy some other mascot. The Wake and Rake, presented by Unibet, is next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
Time for the Wake and Rake brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Let's make some money. Let's just get our pick aside down early. I want to get that locked and loaded.
Okay.
So tonight, Monday Night Football. Rams and Niners. A lot riding on today between us and the guys behind the glass, Josh and Daniele. We're allowing them to take the reins here and choose their side for tonight, and we will deal with the fate. Because I think both of us kind of felt like it was a toss-up anyway. Like, we're not strongly.
No, I kind of want to cede responsibility here. I don't really have a good read, so let them control their own fate.
And we selected first on Friday.
Which means they'll go first next week, and then we'll pick Monday night.
I love it. So, gentlemen, welcome. Please join us and share with the listeners your choice for tonight.
Well, how noble of you. You're going to let us pick. That is so noble.
It is noble.
Oh, yeah. Just salt of the earth stuff right there from Ailish Forfar. This is an interesting game tonight. And also, who said we ever agreed to these terms? But nonetheless, we'll continue. You're just making up the terms and we're here playing by them.
Right.
I don't know if that's fair or not, but we'll see. You're forcing us to pick a side in this game, which, again, I wouldn't have necessarily wanted to pick this game. But nonetheless, we are going to ride with the San Francisco 49ers at home against the Los Angeles Rams. Rematch of last year's NFC Championship game, of course, which the Rams won and went on to win the Super Bowl. And San Francisco coming off a loss last week against Denver. So we're going Niners in this ball game. I think Jimmy G gets a nice little bounce back here.
More sound rationale.
Sounds good to me.
More heat from Daniele. But he's right. I don't think any of us wanted to pick this game. And we make Daniele and Josh do it.
Appreciate it,
so
guys.
We will have a leader after week four. Ailish adamant in that, putting Daniele on the spot. So we'll see what happens there. But again, great start. I'm glad someone picked up on the news and put together a six-leg parlay and made some money.
Yeah,
so that's
TJ.
Great.
All right. So best of luck to us on our pick aside. Someone will be victorious tomorrow morning. All right. So Justin has a same game parlay for us today. We'll have the Wake and Rake with your anchor. We have Jays and Orioles tonight. We have Maple Leafs in action and we have Monday Night Football. So lots to go through. Where do you want to start?
Let's go through some of the submissions, get our anchor down. Then we can see what we're going to do to complete the parlay and then throw together our sort of last second bets. So mostly, you know, there's a couple from the football game, but I think most of the stuff that we like is from the Blue Jays game. The first one is Berríos to record the win at plus 165, 8-0 in 11 career games versus the Orioles. Giving up only three earned runs, once, beat them a couple weeks ago. That's from Big Mac in Guelph. Love the handle.
Big Mac.
You were a little skeptical that Berríos would go late in the game, but that's only based on performance. Like, we don't have a concern about him, like, saving something for the postseason. Like, there's no reason to think that Berríos would be limited in any way, correct?
I honestly don't know how they play the next three games. If they're up early, what's the point of risk? Like, Gausman came out as soon as there's a little blip in his finger. Like, are you going to push your guy to the extreme limit? But he might not pitch again till Sunday. Like, if you think of Berríos being your third starter in the playoffs, that's Sunday.
But he's not going to be. We don't think, right? Like,
who knows?
You'd rather run Berríos out there and tax him than tax key members of the bullpen.
100%.
Even though we're still ways away. Like,
I just thought of more.
Everyone's
going to
have proper rest if they need it. It's just we don't know exactly what the incentives will be. But if the Blue Jays are going to win this game, then Berríos is in a decent position to win the game because we think the Blue Jays bats have been very strong. They should be favored like they are in this game to win, given that they are the better team and better team in form. If Berríos pitches adequately, he should be in a decent position to win the game. So to juice up the parlay, I don't think that's a terrible bet.
I just think it's interesting how they're deploy their pitchers over the next three games.
Okay, let's run through a few more.
Okay, so Cody from St. Catharines.
Our guy.
Kittle anytime touchdown. He has a touchdown in each of his last four games at home versus LA. That's pretty good stats here.
That's got to be plus money. We should probably bring up exactly what it is.
I got it.
But I don't know. I'm predicting something different, and I'll get to that in my same game parlay. But like, it's been so anemic, the passing game, the total offense for the San Francisco 49ers. I think they're in a better position to put up points, but like, they might only score a couple times, and there's definitely a few options to score touchdowns. I don't know if that's the safest pick.
Plus 200.
It's not definitely not the safest pick for a parlay.
And it's not enough value, but appreciate this.
Well, there's a decent amount of value, but it's just,
plus 200 for a touchdown.
Yeah,
it could be better. Okay, so similar thinking. Harrison from Kirkfield, Debo Samuel anytime touchdown.
Probably a smaller price,
plus
right?
Plus 110.
Again, I don't know how. Like, they've only scored like under 15 points, I think.
You're picking one person to get the one touchdown.
Exactly. Touchdowns have been hard to come by. Again, I do think they're going to have a better chance to score in this game. But just relying on their offense to do anything for us, I don't think so.
So a couple more Debo picks. Chris from Moncton over yards. Chad from Peterborough, our other guy. Debo anytime touchdown. My wake and rake pick is going to be Debo related.
Okay, so we'll close the door on those?
For now, sorry guys. But that's good that we're all in alignment.
And then we really only have two other options here. Both Jays related.
And both, well, two other options. Vladdy.
Yeah.
Over bases. I like this because I did a little research. He's hitting .385 against Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
I think my just $5 is going to be a Vladdy home run tonight. In his career or this season against, he's got three home runs, five RBIs at 13 at-bats against this pitcher. So
that's the rationale behind Mark from Sunderland's pick here. Vladdy over 1.5 bases or to score a run, both plus money. If Vladdy goes deep, he cashes your $5. He's obviously going to hit the overs on both those bases and run totals. So I see the rationale behind going with Vladdy here. But the other option would be a different Berríos number, which would be over 4.5 Ks. That's from Matt in Toronto. He might give up 10 hits and 3 walks. That's what Matt says. But he'll get his Ks. I smell another sweep coming. And that, of course, would put the Blue Jays into home field in the wild card. So it comes down to Berríos or Vladdy, where we're going to put our trust. And I just feel like, Berríos is safer because we know, like, you know, Vladdy's obviously going to get his at-bats in the game. He's had success before against this pitcher. But I like the rationale that even if Berríos gets hit a little bit, the strikeout totals may be there.
Let me tell you that I don't agree with you.
Okay.
Because in September, last outing, maybe some recency bias, he had 7 strikeouts. Before that, he had 1, 3, 4, 2. He's gone 5 innings last game, then 2, then 6, then 6, then 6. So even the games that he's gone longer, he's gotten 3, 4, and 2 strikeouts.
Okay.
Just something to chew on, Justin.
I'm chewing on it. I'm spitting it out. Let's roll with either Vladdy or the Berríos to get a win. Do we want to get aggressive or we want to go to conservative? I think that's really the option. Do we want to get aggressive with the Berríos when we believe? I want to bet on a Jays victory tonight. The only way to really do well, you can bet on the money line. It's within range. But if we want to get aggressive, Berríos to win. If not, Vladdy over 1.5 bases is probably our pick. You make the call.
I would like to go with Vladdy over 1.5 bases. Mark from Sunderland.
Okay, done. Our anchor, Vladdy, over 1.5 bases. That's at plus money. We'll get the actual number up to complete our parlay.
Okay, let's go with your same game parlay while I do this.
Okay, same game parlay. So I kind of touched on it a little bit when we were talking about Kittle and Debo. The fact that San Francisco is at a really difficult time scoring is a concern, but it's also leading to depressed numbers, like across the board. I have a feeling like my theme is like, you can't just like, they can't be in the worst game every week. Eventually San Francisco's got to play in an exciting game. Eventually these two, that offense has got to get loose. And I think the Rams might be the perfect tonic for that. I actually feel like this could be a very exciting game. We're breaking out, I think, a little bit of these like spamming the unders across the board. Last night with the Chiefs and Bucks, you know, trading, what was it, close to 70 points or something like that. 41-31, I think, was the final. Anyway, the point totals may be turning up a little bit. We might see these offenses start to get out of their early season malaises. So I'm going to pick the Rams and 49ers to play in a very fun game tonight, which means I'm going to take both Garoppolo and Stafford to go over their passing numbers. It's 223 for Garoppolo, 250 for Stafford. So if they both clear 250, we're good there. I'm going to take Debo and Brandon Ayuk to go over their receiving totals. For Debo, it's 56.5. For Ayuk, it's 52. Of course, we got Debo. Or you might go with Debo for your wake and rake pick. Cooper Kupp is automatic. I'm going to go over 92.5 for him and to score a touchdown. And if all these things happen, we're going to go over the total, so 42.5. So I got the three best receivers in the game going over their numbers, Kupp to score, the quarterbacks to go over their numbers. I'm predicting like a 35-30 game. And in order for that to happen, we're going to see a lot of passing yards and receiving yards racked up in the game. So that's the same game parlay. I believe it's about a plus 1600. These lines might be slightly different because I put it together last night. Mm-hmm. But my prediction is this game gets loose and we get a lot of yardage from the quarterbacks and the receivers. And if that happens, we've got a good chance of cashing this.
So I'm loving that because I'm in alignment with your Debo pick. I had him over 54.5 receiving yards. It's moved a little bit, but he's Jimmy G's like security blanket.
Yep.
He gets the ball all over the field. Last week, the Niners only got 10 points. He had his season high in targets, receptions, and receiving yards.
Yep. Both are number, their top receivers, 8 targets each. Mm-hmm. If they get 8 targets,
you're gonna
again,
get over 54
they're flying
yards.
Over 50 yards. So I like both those receivers. And of course, Cup's the guy. Mm-hmm. Kupp, you can't cover Kupp. He should get 100 every time, even against a good defense like the San Francisco 49ers have. So, I think this game gets a little bit loose. It's fun. I'm hoping for that, at least. And if it is fun, I think we got a good chance here.
So my wake and rake submission will be Debo over yards, and it's at 55.5 now on Unibet. So locking that in, we're locking in Vladdy over 1.5 bases.
Mm-hmm. What was that number? Did you get it?
Plus 120.
Looks good.
Now, where are you falling for today's wake and rake yourself?
Okay, so Not contrarian at all. I'm not even trying to troll, but I feel like the Mariners...
Troll? Like Seattle Kraken?
Yeah. Bowie the troll over here. Not as frightening to look at. Well, that might be debatable. I don't think the Mariners are going to make it easy on the Blue Jays. I don't think we're going to come in here celebrating that the Blue Jays waltzed into the number one wild card seed. I don't think it's going to be that simple. I think the Mariners are going to handle business largely against the Detroit Tigers over this four-game set. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're going to sweep them. That doesn't mean they're going to steal home field advantage from the Blue Jays. I think the Blue Jays just handle their own business and they make it happen that way. But for now, I don't think the Mariners are going to hand it to them. George Kirby's on the bump for Seattle. He's got a lot to prove here. He might be fighting for a spot on the mound, some time on the mound in a mm-hmm. postseason series. There's no guarantee that he'll get much run, let alone a start. So he's going to want to pitch well and prove himself to the coaching staff with Seattle. So I think he puts his best foot forward. I cannot put the money line in the parlay. It's minus 240. So I will take them on the run line, minus 110, to beat the lowly Detroit Tigers in a game that Seattle needs.
It's and called a happiness hedge, too.
A little bit. It's like it's got a faint tinge of a happiness hedge because it doesn't really matter. Would you rather not see it in the end? Sure. But if it's going to happen, which I believe it will happen, let's take the Mariners to win on the run line and just handle business after the Jays handle business in the first game that matters tonight.
Okay. So Seattle on the run line, Debo over 55.5 receiving yards, and Vladdy over 1.5 bases today will be our Wake and Rake, anchored by Mark in Sunderland. Appreciate you, Mark. All together on Unibet, that's plus 696.
That's the range. We tend to be around like plus 700. If we keep hitting one of every three plus 700s, we're going to be in good shape.
Could I interest you in a Blue Jays home field advantage clinching scenario?
Well, I just went against that,
listener, just $5.
Okay.
If you parlay the Jays to win and the Detroit Tigers to win, it's plus 412.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Could be interesting for
you
folks.
You can happiness hedge the Wake and Rake.
You could.
If you really wanted to.
But if you sprinkle in the Toronto Maple Leafs to also win that three-leg parlay,
mm-hmm.
it's the Toronto happiness parlay, plus 653.
Toronto vibes parlay.
Kind of like the Toronto vibes parlay.
So you're going against the Wake and Rake.
I'm just presenting other options for the listeners. I'm standing by the Wake and Rake every day. I bet it and I feel it, but I'm just saying maybe you sprinkle some elsewhere too.
I thought that's fine.
Yeah, just sharing.
I'm not that offended, slightly offended. But I thought your just $5 was, you already share the Vladdy
it
related
is, it's
just
Vladdy
$5?
Home run today. My just $5 is plus 650.
So all these things are overlapping a little bit, which worries me. But
let me
there's
tell
not
you,
much we can do when we're only betting on 2-3 games.
Yeah, and not a lot of their lines are up yet. So for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, you can't bet more than just basic outcome since it's preseason. They're favorite minus 215 on the money line against the Montreal Canadiens. We do have some rosters to share with you.
Okay.
Last Friday, I think the Maple Leafs played, and I named off zero people that you had remembered.
Just Nick Robertson on an island.
Tonight, Michael Bunting in the lineup, Mitch Marner in the lineup, Austin Matthews in the lineup, and William Nylander in the lineup.
That sounds like
pretty
good. Four-man late-game unit with Mitch Marner on defense. No?
Yes, it could be. It looks like Matt Murray is getting the start. Who else do you want to know who's playing?
In terms of relevant, well, yeah, it means
it's a pretty good roster.
It's
tonight.
Probably a good roster given what the number is. It's probably
Rasmus Sandin yet.
No, it might be closer to the actual opening night roster than anything we'll see. That's kind of like the time we're in. Maybe there's one more game we'll want to do that. But as long as this preseason is, we're getting down to it. We're only, 9 days away from mm-hmm. the opener?
So and, this is a pretty good representation of some of the Leafs that you'll see.
And so, which makes it, I guess, the most important of the unimportant preseason. But it will be interesting to see if they roll out the Mitch Marner experience on defense. If that does happen, I'm sure you and I will be making the switch over in our dual screen setups. Just to mention on the topic of NHL, We're going to hit on some NHL awards tomorrow and Wednesday. We're going to run through. I know you ran through a bunch of it with Haley Salvian. I want to give you my thoughts, and I want to hear your thoughts because I didn't get all of your thoughts when I did tune in. So we're going to go through the awards, and then next week we will do some Stanley Cup division stuff. So we're going to go through the awards this week, and then we'll go through some more season-long team bets to tee up the season next week.
Sounds great to me. Let's just give our listeners one more thing. So Niners tonight is Josh and Danielle's final pick for Pick Aside. You have our Wake and Rake. You have Justin's Same Game Parlay. You have our Just $5. You have our preview for all three games. My question to you is how the top two lines will look tonight for the Maple Leafs. Without John Tavares in the lineup, how do you think they deploy line one and two with the players I mentioned?
I can't. Well, I don't know who's playing, but I cannot shake the feeling that Nylander will start with Kerfoot and Yarncroak.
No Yarncroak today.
So no Yarncroak today.
Zach Aston-Reese, Abrazizi, and Nick Robertson.
I guess Nick Robertson's the other one. I just worry about... maybe I shouldn't worry about Tavares being there for Robertson to work, but I do feel like it puts pretty... like, there's no... great option here without Tavares, but it puts a lot of stress on Kerfoot to be like the responsible one between Nylander and Robertson. And I'm not saying that William Nylander is defensively irresponsible. He's got some really strong parts of his defensive game. I'm more so leaning towards, okay, we got to put Nick Robertson in the best position to shine. And I think John Tavares can stabilize things when he's there, but there are no other options really. It's either Yarncroak or Robertson, that's going to start on that second line role to me, or at least that makes the most sense to me, because guys like Gaudette have gone down, and you know, you mentioned Zach Aston-Reese. That doesn't make sense for the second line to me. He looks like a guy that you should be trying to partner up with David Kampf to have that really effective shutdown third or fourth line. So either way, the Maple Leafs are not entering the season under ideal circumstances.
That's right.
It's going to be a shorthanded second line. But the partnership Kerfoot and Nylander have grown over these last 2 years is what you can lean on to make sure that you get good results. And who makes the most sense there? I tend to think it's Yarncroak in the short term. But again, I can see the argument for having making sure that he's put in the position where you want him at the end of the season to start the season. But he's so versatile that it might not matter. It really just comes down to whether or not Nick Robertson is going to make this team and play
That's
a
right.
big role.
He's
and
got
if he does make it this team, you know where he's playing.
That's right.
Second line left wing.
So added intrigue for you all listening and watching tonight, maybe split screen. Blue Jays, 7 o'clock against the Orioles. You got Barrios on the mound. Maple Leafs, 7 o'clock versus the Montreal Canadiens. Rams and Niners, 8:15, Monday Night Football. The Blue Jays can clinch home field with a win and a Seattle Mariners loss today. They're very close. Potential to most likely play the Seattle Mariners in the postseason. That's it for the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening.